Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. Now, for years, I've been hearing about manifestations such as angel feathers and precious stones and diamond gemstones. And I've got pictures here that were sent to me from the internet, from Pastor David Jones. And, Pastor David is located in a suburb of Houston, Texas, Katy, Texas. I have to tell you, that excited me, but what excited me even more was before all of these, and by the way, when these manifestations occur, people, and someone's neck has just been healed in Jesus' name, people are being physically healed. But right before this manifestation happened, I believe that Pastor David did something so important to the Spirit of God that, if you will, that God rejoiced so much these manifestations occurred. And Pastor David, you told me that for 6 months before these things occurred, you were teaching on a particular subject and being and really cultivating the presence of God. What subject did you teach on?
Sid, we was teaching on the subject on humility, humbleness, humble yourself under the mighty hands of God. And he said he will exalt us up. For 6 months, God had me in that season of with a series on humility, and God just moved supernaturally.
And as far as I'm concerned, planet Earth is in the midst of one of the greatest revivals the world has ever seen. I believe the first time since Azusa Street,
yes,
this new move of God has hit planet Earth. And if there is one thing that will get in the way of the move of God's Spirit, it's pride.
Yes.
And so I don't know of a more important subject for people to understand. And, you know, when someone hears the subject humility, they say, oh yeah, I need some of that, but I don't want to hear it. But I'm going to tell you something. For you to get to the next level, it is mandatory you learn humility. But you told me something interesting. You also were really cultivating the presence of God. You would go out to the woods and pray. Tell me about that.
Oh, yes. For like 10 years, God had me a season of intense prayer and fasting, but I did more praying than I did more fasting. I did more just seeking the face of God and going out into the woods. Don't ask me why I went out in the woods. You know, some people just use their closet or their bedroom. I went out into the woods in the open space, and I would go out and just begin to just minister to the Lord and worship him and just talk to him just like he was a natural born man. And that's where my relationship began to build. And that's where my joy, and that's when I began to praise God out there with no drums, with no organ, with no tambourines, with no hand clapping people. It was just me and the Lord. And that's why I learned to release myself and to empty of myself, of all inhibitions of myself, with God and in the presence of God. And God used me out there with supernatural signs, supernatural feats, supernatural wonders. And God began to just speak to me and tell me what's ahead for my life in the future.
David, tell me some of the supernatural things that happened when you were out in the woods alone with the Lord.
Well, I got so many, but I'll share a few of them. One time I walked out and I began to worship God, and I thought I was going to go through the same routine of worship him, and then, you know, and then begin to talk to him and pray to him. Then I just heard the Lord whisper in my ear, run. And I said,
David, how old are you?
I'm 51 years young.
Okay. And he said, run. Now, just out of curiosity, were you in good condition at the time?
I wasn't out of shape. I don't think I was.
Okay, so why is that supernatural to run?
Yeah, and he said to run, and for some reason the neighborhood dog came out there with me. That had never happened. And you know, I had my own dog, but at that time I didn't have a dog. But usually I would take my dog when I got my dog. But this neighborhood dog followed me out, and so the Lord came to him again and said, "Run." And so I just started running, and the dog all of a sudden got alongside of me, started running with me. He was just running. He thought it was a game. All of a sudden, the anointing and the power of God came upon me so strong that my legs began to move so fast that it put me in an awesome amazement. And as I left the dog, I even speeded up even more. And I'm thinking maybe a quarter mile to a half a mile. I ran at top speed like I've never ran before. And it was so supernatural. I couldn't even believe my legs was moving that fast. All of a sudden, I came to a dead stop. And then I wasn't breathing hard. I wasn't exhausted or out of wind. And I just fell to the ground, and I was beginning to feel my body like, what's going on? And I heard the Lord say, keep running. Stay in the race. Don't give up. I'm going to use your body in supernatural feats and in signs and wonders. Then a time I went out where it was big boulders all around in the dark, and the power of God came upon me, and I just ran and leaped in the air in the dark, from one boulder to the next boulder to the next boulder, and tears was coming out of my face because I couldn't stop leaping. It's like God just took my body and used it the way he wanted. He said, I'm going to use your body and supernatural feats and signs and wonders. Then my mind goes back with Elijah, how he outran the chariot.
And tell me why you started a six-month series at your church on humility.
Well, God, you know, some people say, why did you teach on humility? Did you think the body of Christ needed? It's not so much that I thought the body of Christ needed. It's just the Spirit of God moved upon me to teach on it. And as I began to teach on it, people came from all around Houston on that Wednesday Bible class, just came just to hear on this humility. And you know, and I know, Sid, you don't hear too much teaching on humbleness, even though we know we need to be humble. We know we need to walk humble, but you don't hear too much teaching. And as I began to expound on it, a revelation began to come to me. I mean, it was just pouring out of me. People coming early on Wednesday, just sitting there, coming from Houston all over, waiting to hear on humility. And time I get up, the anointing just hit me so heavy, and I just pour out of me for 6 months. And that's how the book was birthed, Humble is the Way.
Tell me some of the supernatural things that occurred that caused you to write the book on humility. The title is Humble is the Way.
Well, Sid, God placed on my heart to write a book, but I didn't know what to write. But he said, I want you to write a book. And I believe it was 3 weeks to 2 months later that a prophet that I never met, but a minister introduced me on the phone to him, and we exchanged numbers. 2 months after that, he called me out of the blue and said, Pastor David, God said it's time to write the book. I said, oh, yes, sir. He said, Pastor David, God says it's time to write the book. I said, yes, sir. He said, the book is going to save people's lives. God is going to prosper the book. Pastor David, God says it's time to write the book. I said, yes, sir. He said, God bless you. And he hung up, and I was like, oh, my God. And I said, oh, man, that's confirmation, Lord. And I believe it was a month or so after that, God gave me the series to teach on humility, which I never taught a series before in my life, but it was on humility, teaching every Wednesday for 6 months. And that's how the book was birthed, Humble is the Way.
Well, it's a now book. That's my yes. Mentoring advice to those that are listening to our Mishpucha. Yes. But let me find out a bit about your life. Your father really beat you as a young kid?
Oh, yes. He was a boxer, and he had a problem with drinking. And anytime he'd get in his stupor, he'd just take it out on me. And he was a pretty tough guy. I mean, he could take two or three guys. And so I guess in his mind's eye, he was trying to instill that toughness in me. And I never liked hurting people. I never wanted to hurt anybody, but he instilled that in me. So, yes, he would haul off and hit me, or I'll be walking by, he'll trip me just to do something to aggravate me and say, come on, you want to fight me? And I always said, I never want to fight you. But when I was at the baseball park or out and some guy said they're going to fight me, it was just a rage would raise up in me, and I would end up beating them or maybe two or three guys. And I started feeling that I could really handle myself, and I started getting prideful. Now I said, no one can tell me. No one is going to tell me what to do. And so God had to humble me and bring me down because of that.
Well, at 14, you actually left home. How does a 14-year-old survive in the streets?
It's pretty hard, you know, and I was going to school, too, and I would get out of school and go right to work and work to midnight. And but I had my own place. No one told me what to do. I mean, I'm making my own money, and it was tough. It was real tough, and it was a lot of responsibility. And then I ended up going to the Marines, and then I could really help support my mother, send her money. But
now, in the Marines, they taught you how to become a professional killer.
A professional killer.
Tell me what you did for them.
Oh, well, I was supposedly guaranteed military police academy, but when they seen I was in there and we got into the pugil fights, they give you pugil fights to fight back and forth. And so they see that I could beat one guy, so they put another guy up, no, two guys up, and they gave them sticks and they didn't give me a stick. And I beat them. Then they took this like 6'9 guy, 250 pound, and put him up. And he wore size 14 boot and they called him Goliath. And so I was terrified. But what they was doing, Sid, they like to pressurize you. They want you to break there before you break in war. So they seen that. They call me a good fighting machine. You're a good fighting machine. So you're going to be an 0311 rifleman. You're going to be the first one hit the beaches. So they use me for my fighting ability. It's like when I get in that rage, I want to survive. It's like I believe I was always fighting against my father, my invisible father.
So you got out of the Marines and you're still wild, but supernatural things started happening to you about the Lord. Now, you were an alcoholic. Were you into drugs?
Alcoholic. I was on drugs, cocaine. I mean, the whole nine yards. I got a job at Ford Motor Company, and here's a supernatural manifestation of God's power and getting my attention. The guy at Ford, he would invite me to his church, and I kept saying, no, I don't have any clothes, you know. I don't. Then one day he invited me, so I went, and I sat in the back of the church, and they was doing a revival, and the evangelist was preaching, and he was saying, if you want to give your life to the Lord, you can come. And I was sitting in the back, see, and I said, well, man, I was raised up in church as a little boy, but I said, I don't know if I can do this. So, and I was kind of indecisive, so I didn't go. And so
I'll tell you what, hold that thought, Mishpocha. This is such an amazing testimony, but I want to get in your hands as soon as possible his book, Humble is the Way. It's literally the key to God's heart and favor and to moving in the supernatural, because without humility, you're not going to please God. You're not going to be able to love God the way you want to.
Yes.
You're not going to be able to receive all the love God has for you, and you're not going to be able to love your neighbor as God wants you to. Urgent. Mentoring book. For a donation of $18, order Humble is the Way.
For he himself is our peace,
who has made both Jew
and Gentile into one,
and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall.
His purpose was to create in himself
one new man.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.